If you kind of like fitness, then you'll definitely love this podcast. You are listening to the only fitness podcast where you'll hear a lot about fitness and a lot about other-ish.
Welcome to the Only Fitness Podcast. I'm going to skip a lot of the intro and just get right into it because we got two guests who need to introduce themselves, and we're going to have a very hot topic, hot take, hot discussion today. So, guests, take it away. We've got Tyler and Jessica. Introduce yourselves, please.
Right.
Hi. I'm Jessica. Jessica Rehal. I go by Jessica Jade Yoga on Instagram. I'm plus size, micro influencer, yoga instructor, etc.
All right. Hey, Jessica. Hey. hi, everybody. I'm Tyler, also known as the Big Dog 77 on Twitter, Instagram, and pretty much anything else. And I am just a fat influencer, just trying to be my best self and share my journey.
So interesting. And then you guys know us. I'm Alan Yee at the Alan Yee. That's Monica. What's up, Monica?
What's up? I think we should also talk about how you all know each other or how you met. The show that you were just on.
Yeah. So we were all on the show on Jubilee's show, Middle Ground. It was Fat Influencers versus Fit Influencers. And then I got Jessica and Tyler's contact information after the show because I felt like we could have, you know, a further discussion outside of those really bright lights shining on us with everyone kind of staring. I felt like there's a little bit of filter that I put myself on. And then also there's like so much other stuff to talk about. It's hard with the prompts that they give us sometimes to steer conversation a certain way, or, you know, they kind of put us a certain way when they have those prompts. So this will be a lot different because we can just speak our mind. We're basically just talking on the phone. That's all it is. We're talking on the phone. We're just friends talking. And I guess one question for both of you, Jessica and Tyler, is, you know, how did you guys become influencers, or how did you guys, you know, gain your sphere of influence?
Yeah, Tyler, I feel like you have a better story than me, so why don't you take this away?
Oh, yeah. I think I saw Tyler's story when I was trying to figure out his last name last night. It finally popped up.
Sure. So, I actually like randomly, kind of got started, I guess, going viral with my partner. So one day I, posted a picture of us kissing in front of, a French restaurant in Philadelphia, and it went viral. I commented on actually a picture of someone else, and like added to the thread. And then I just kind of made a little statement about just, you know, talking about the necessity and the need for like that kind of representation, because, you know, there's not a lot of like queer representation, queer black representation, queer black couple representation, queer black fat couple representation. So I was just happy to share that. And then it just blew up. And then after that, it was just like a couple things, like, you know, I don't know. We went viral on Twitter a couple of times and here we are.
Viral on Twitter. That's hard to do. It's way easier to get viral on TikTok or Instagram right now, but viral on Twitter is a different type of fame. And I'm sure you got some comments after that. So we'll definitely go over some of that stuff. How about you, Jessica? How did you gain your influence that you have now?
So it actually happened because I was actually being shy. I had like an Instagram account like everybody does. And I was starting my fitness journey, which I hate that phrase so much, but I was starting to experiment with different types of movement for joy for the first time in my life. And I came across a community of yogis on Instagram. And this is something that still happens. It's not very popular anymore, but everybody was doing yoga challenges. And it was really an effort to get followers for businesses and people and things like that. And I wanted to participate, and I didn't want to do it in front of everybody. So I created this separate account to post my yoga challenges, and they had to be public in order to enter the challenges. And it just grew organically from there. And it just became a thing. And I found my voice and my place in this, like, at these intersections in this little niche community. So,
oh, wow. And wait, when did you create your Instagram account?
It's been like 5 years now. It's been a while. It's been a slow, organic process, and it's wild. It's wild.
And then why did you say you don't like the term fitness journey? What was that about?
Oh, just because it is so synonymous with weight loss. And I think a lot of people think that and they're like, good job, keep going, keep it up. And it's just like, consistently, I am keeping it up. Like, what are you expecting of me? It just feels performative from my perspective because people have anticipate that I'm about something that I'm not. That's why I hate it. Mm-hmm. But for all intents and purposes, yeah, fitness journey, it makes sense.
Okay. Let's get raw into it. So what do you think fitness journey entails? And like, why do you think there's so much, concentration on weight loss?
Because that's what people are excited about. Like everybody, there's this narrative that if you're, and maybe not so much in the fitness world as a whole, but I think from an outsider looking in, there's this narrative that you are constantly looking to shrink yourself or grow stronger or be faster. And it's almost never about like, I just really love doing this and I might be mediocre at it and I might suck and I might not ever be faster or better. There's just a lot of emphasis on fitness as a vehicle to get you somewhere else versus fitness as a vehicle to feel good in your body. So I think it's loaded because of that. But I mean, we're all on a fit. Anybody that moves for pleasure or for movement is on a fitness journey, I would think. It's just that connotation that you get with it, especially in conjunction with the internet and like a physical Instagram page or something like that. You're looking to compare people, you're looking for before and afters. And I get comments like that constantly, even though I'm not initiating that conversation. I get messages, oh, are you losing weight? You look so much stronger. How long have you been practicing this to get to there? And like, that's not what this is about.
Yeah, it's like the diet culture sort of connotation with like fitness and weight loss. They're always in conjunction with each other with that way of thinking.
Yeah. And I think that we all know that that's, I mean, especially we know that that's not the case necessarily all the time, but there's a space for that, obviously. But just to have that default, like, oh, you must be on a weight loss. How much weight have you lost? You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like the it's always the extreme way of thinking, like of one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why can't we have both?
Do you think the reason why like fitness journey has become synonymous with weight loss is, you know, due to the amount of people who are overweight or obese has been increasing in the US over the past 20, 30, 40 years? And like, if we were to compare like what fitness is now compared to when it first started, when Eugene Sandow was, you know, the big bodybuilder and he was doing like kettlebell workouts, and you see the change in fitness from then to even the way it's promoted towards women. So like now, I think there's a big revolution for like women to, you know, strength train in their, as part of their fitness journey. But back in the like 50s, it was to be curvier, plumpier, Marilyn Monroe-esque. And then it, even into the 90s, it got into the cocaine chic. So do you think there's, you know, the reason why weight loss might be tied to it is due to bigger problems that we're facing now? If you think obesity is a problem?
I actually, I think that is, that's kind of the guise. I think that most people pretend that their comments are coming from, oh, it's about your health. No, it's not. First of all, a lot of people, many people work out for vanity reasons. You know, you want to look good. And I hear often from other people like, you know, whether it's I want to look good during sex, you know, whatever, like I hear a lot of those things. So to me, it's like, it's really cute to say that fitness and everything is just all about weight loss and we just care about our health. No, we all don't. And I just think that it's interesting because it's like when there's fat people involved, now the fitness has to be about my health and my diabetes and the number on the scale. But, you know, I went to a very, you know, I went to college in Connecticut, basically, and there were girls there, you know, who admittedly, oh no, I'm just working out this week because I have formal on Saturday, and I just need to look good. Or, and this is like certainly not a dig at the girls. It's just that these are just some of the examples coming to my mind. But, or also, you know, I'm also trying to, you know, land my business major, my finance, my econ major. So I have to look hot. I have to join the sorority. You know, I have to do that XYZ thing to get that guy so that we can like live happily and I can be the stay at home wife, you know, and whatever. And again, certainly not a dig at women at all. I'm saying that like there are other reasons why people work out. And I just hate that we pretend that like, oh, it just is all about our health. No, it's not. Not all the time.
I think that the words fitness and health are super vague and subjective, and they mean different things to different people. And Alan, like you said, like what fitness meant in the 50s was completely different than what it means now. And I think, Tyler, I think what you're getting at is like, it's a euphemism for feeling hot almost. Right. So what felt hot back then is different than what feels hot now. So are people more obese now than they were 50 years ago? Yeah, I think statistically, yes. And does that drive what that means? Yes. Also, yes. But I think that people have this expectation of larger bodies on the in life, whether you see it on the internet or in real life, to perform and to make you feel comfortable. So like if you are somebody that is fat phobic, and we all have internalized fat phobia, even myself, you see somebody like that is everything that you don't want to be, like fat and sweating, and you see rolls and they're breathing hard. And in your head, you're like, God damn, I never want to be that way. But at least they're trying. Like that's the mindset that goes into fitness in larger bodies. So yes, but also it's like a performative expectation of people based on how they perceive your health, based on how you look, how attractive they are to you. Just my take on it.
All right. Well, I want to let the listeners know that, you know, I'm taking the side of the devil's advocate just so that we can propulse and propagate the conversation into, you know, hot takes and really get a good idea. So if anyone gets mad at me, just know that I am nothing but a messenger. But, you know, I will also try to open up and have a really good conversation. But this question was from YouTube. And basically this one was saying, they were commenting like, unless you have a serious health condition or disability, I genuinely don't believe that there's any excuse to be fat or obese. It's unhealthy and can lead to a lot of health problems later on in life. And so would love to get your take on that, on lifespan essentially.
Oh, let's go, Tyler.
Ask me.
Tyler's ready. Yeah. And so for anyone who doesn't know, you know, Tyler has a background in, you know, clinical research and, you know, is going the pre-med route. And so, yeah, I would love to look at, you know, science behind it too. We can go dig into the science too, and let's have a hard tough conversation. Let's do it.
Absolutely. And so I apologize if I get on my soapbox for a minute, but here we go. So first of all, I also saw another comment about if I'm not being open-minded, why was I selected to be on the show? And I just want to say that first of all, bitches, you don't even know what, like, first of all, let me run down the resume, okay? I have a degree in psychology, okay, where my focus was clinical and neuropsychology, okay? Secondly, I have an interest in medicine and will be starting school in a post-bac program in the pre-medical program, okay?
Well, let's go. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. I also work in clinical research and have been for the last 3 years, 4 years, 5 years since I graduated college. And so I work directly with patients, nurses, doctors, nurse practitioners. I have been in publications as co-authors. So, sweetie, this is not me doing my Wikipedia research. This is saying I live and breathe the medicine and the medical field and research. Okay. I know I'm not saying that I am the world's expert, but I'm just saying that I will only take medical opinions and advice from medical professionals, not people who say, well, I know that there's fat people and that can being fat can just lead to diabetes. I think it also makes people a little bit angry that as fat bitches, I don't have diabetes. I don't have high blood pressure. You know why? Because I monitor my levels with my medical professionals, with my doctors. So they're happy with my levels. I'm satisfied with my levels, and I'm happy and I'm healthy. So that's just number one. I just want to start there. And then Alan, ask me your question one more time. I'm sorry. I jumped in.
Well, you just made me think of something that was really good. But so the way you think and your background, do you think that can be applied to, you know, a general population, even people who aren't overweight or obese? Because I'm going to say that I, you know, out of all the 330 million Americans, less than 1% of people would think like you, think like me, think like Monica, think like Jessica in terms of our health. Like, people aren't monitoring their health, whether they're obese or not. So I guess bringing that point in is like, the second part of the question was like, do you think there is an excuse to be obese or fat, knowing that, you know, there are health problems later down in life if you're not monitoring it?
Yeah, and a lot of people, first of all, come from a place of privilege. Number one, there are places where things like food deserts exist, where people don't have access to fresh groceries, fresh food, and all of that. It has nothing to do with them, you know, being lazy and all of that other bullshit. It has everything to do with your access, okay? And it also has to do with your socioeconomic status. Now, again, I was in Hartford, Connecticut, okay? Hartford, Connecticut was one of those places where if, you know, you had to drive across town to get to the supermarket, right? I was fortunate that I went to this bougie-ass school, and all the kids had cars, and I was able to get in the car with them and go to the grocery store across town. However, not everybody has that option. Some people who have to feed their families, you know, and they have the tough decisions to make. It's like, am I going to spend, you know, $50 buying like organic this and organic that, plus the gas and or the bus fare to get across town? Or am I going to send my kids to the store with, I don't know, $20 and get them lunch for the next couple days? But lunch might consist of stuff that maybe is not so healthy or, you know, whatever. So isn't it an excuse? No, but I'm saying that it's more nuanced than that. There's more layers than people are just being lazy or choosing to be fat. You know, now I will speak for myself. I have always been a big person since the day I came out of the womb. I've been a big guy. I'm the biggest person in my family. I'm taller than both my parents, bigger, wider. I mean, I wear a size 15 shoe. There's not even a human in my family even comes close to that. Yeah, so that is
size
just
15.
That's my whole life. And with that, you know, I was always active, 3-sport athlete, went to college, did it. And then now I'm, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm saying, is there an excuse? Maybe for some people. Is there an excuse for me in my position? Maybe. You know, but what am I excusing? You know, I also think that like we talk about obesity or being fat as if like I'm like personally doing something to someone else, which is like really odd to me that people feel like my existence as a fat person is like a disgrace or an attack on them or the American people or our fitness. It's like, are you all insane? Like, I don't under, like, so to excuse obesity, I don't even like, there's nothing to excuse. This is how my body is. This is how I was born. You know what I'm saying? And even continuing to be active all of my life, I never dropped down to, I haven't seen 180 pounds since like high school. And that is just how things go. Also, hello, as you continue to age, you gain more weight. That's just how it happens. You know, they call it your grown man or grown woman weight. You know, when you start to fill out, you get your hips, you get your curves. That's life. That happens. And for some people, it doesn't happen. For some people, it happens too much. For some people, it happens just right. You know, so I don't know. To say that there's an excuse to be fat, I'm saying that there's a lot more to it than the laziness answer that people typically give.
And I think that just taking a step back from it, Tyler, you said something like you were talking about health and that responsibility. And that's often a conversation I don't even entertain, because somebody's health status does not determine how you should treat them. Regardless, I'm not playing good fatty, bad fatty. I'm not going to say I have perfect cholesterol levels and my resting, you know, heart rate is, you know, 59. I'm not going to like go through that with somebody that's already determined to see me as less than because of the size of my body, because I make them feel a certain way. So I would take a step back. Like, I just won't even entertain that argument anymore because it's so moot and it invalidates everything I stand for. And it almost says like, well, you can treat that person shitty because they have diabetes and they also have HIV and they also have, you know, this and that, high cholesterol, they're going to have a stroke. So treat them bad because, you know, they suck. Like, I don't believe in that. So if we step back from that and it's like most people, especially like with COVID going around and the vaccine and people are like, pre-existing conditions. If you have a pre-existing condition, you know, you're most likely going to die from this virus. You should get the vaccine. The truth of the matter is there's so many people saying, I don't have any how many people know that they have heart disease? How many people in this country drop dead from a heart attack with no idea, no history of heart disease? So many, if you look at the statistics, and they're not all in fat bodies. In fact, the average person that dies of a heart disease is like a middle-aged white man that has a smaller waistline that you wouldn't consider obese or overweight. So that idea that because of the way I look that you know my health scenario, like the only thing that you can gain from having that perspective is to make yourself feel better. Like, what does this serve of you to judge somebody based on how they look? We can't see bodies. You can see a thin person that has, you know, all kinds of diseases, heart disease, syphilis, like all kinds of issues. And your mind doesn't go, what an unhealthy disgrace to XYZ. You don't say that when you see the average person that's walking around with all these issues, but you see a large person and it's just like, well, and like, we have to like, culturally, we have to say, where is that coming from? That's coming from an internalized fat phobia, a hatred for large bodies. It has nothing to do with health. And if we understand health system, or healthcare as a system, as a holistic system, how are we impacting it in a positive way by sitting here and judging people for the way they look and what we perceive their condition is? You know, because like a small person could be sitting here with a brain tumor, a stage 4 cancer, and something that they caused from their lifestyle. And we wouldn't know that, and we would never sit there and judge them. But if that person was fat, we were going to judge them for everything else that's probably not wrong with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sitting here. I have hypertension, so people would look at me and they would never assume that I, you know, have high blood pressure.
You're so fit and healthy, Monica, because you're beautiful and you're aesthetically pleasing to so many people. So that goes into this positive, like, oh, you must be doing everything right because you look the way I want to look. You look like somebody I desire. So it's so much of this is just, I don't like you. I am not attracted to you. Or I am, and I don't know how to deal with it because I don't want society to make fun of me, which I feel like we got a little bit from Nick on when we had our Jubilee thing. Like I was picking up a little bit of that.
There were a lot when I was looking through like the YouTube comments. I don't know if you've seen, there have been people that have done reaction videos to your Jubilee show.
People forward me that. People, I haven't seen the original. I haven't seen the reactions. I haven't seen any of the comments. So I'm just like, no, thank you.
people love the video. But one thing that I felt was missing was like harder conversations that I, sorry, I cut someone off.
Oh, no, I was just saying a lot of the comments were about Nick. In all of those like YouTube reactions, the original and everything. Yeah,
Nick stole the show. I'm just gonna bring this up. We'll see how this goes. When you go to the store, and okay, I'm just gonna preface this by like I understand there are points that I make here when I make this analogy that is bad because it's comparing people to fruit, but play along and you guys can go as raw as you need to when you come back at me. But basically, when you go to the store and you're picking up, you know, a watermelon or a mango, you test it out, right? You make sure it's ripe, make sure it looks good, make sure it doesn't look bad. Essentially, you want to pick the best fruit, right?
Yes.
Collective. Yeah, yes. Right. Yes.
Sure.
You don't want a moldy strawberry. Perfect. So I just, you know, found this ideal after, you know, scrolling through comments. It's called physiognomy. Essentially, what you did there as you picked up the fruit is you could tell how good the fruit was based on how it looks. And I'm sure you understand what's going to follow here is that, do you think, I don't want to make it a loaded question, so I'm just going to leave it open-ended. With that fruit analogy, is that the reason why people feel like they can look at you and say, oh, you're probably not a healthy person?
probably, but it's still wrong, right? I mean, yeah. So there's actually like a whole company that I'm blanking on the name, but the point of their company is that they actually sell those ugly, bad fruits.
I'm a membership.
Imperfect.
And I think that then that. I mean, hello, that's kind of the answer. It's like it so even what we perceive is like, oh, this is bad or this is bruised or this is ugly is still healthy, tastes good, feels good, and is ripe and ready to be eaten.
Okay. It's a cosmetic issue. It's on the surface. It's still delicious on the inside, sometimes even better because it's been overlooked. It's gotten a little extra ripe and juicy. Those sugars have developed. So,
Interesting. No, that's a great point. That's a great point that, you know, yeah. And, you know, I prefaced that I'm not trying to compare humans to mere fruit, but I'm glad you brought up that point because I've seen that point, you know, come across Twitter. Next thing here that we have on our list is another comment from YouTube. It's saying, while I think being overweight is a bad thing, something that nobody should be proud of, I think bullying people for being overweight is a problem in itself. I think the correct course of action would be encouraging them to do the right thing rather than making them feel bad and insecure, often to the point of depression, which often worsens as some people use eating as a coping mechanism. So what's your thought on what this person said in terms of their comment, thinking that, you know, they think being overweight is a bad thing, nothing that you should be proud of, and bullying people for being overweight, you know, is also a problem. They also said, you know, the correct course of action would be encouraging them to do the right thing, but they don't mention what the right thing is.
I feel like that concept is like textbook nice, but it's kind of hinging on the fact that there's an idea of a good and a bad way to have a body. You know, like just like Tyler, I was underweight. Surprisingly as an infant. And then once I started developing, I started putting on weight and I quickly became fat and just stayed there. It's just, I've been fat for all of my memories that I can remember. And for so long of my life, I fought that to my detriment. It didn't help me in the long run. It never helped me. It was taking a focus off of weight loss and focusing on, well, actually I love exercising. I love moving. I'm super competitive. Let me like approach it from this way, from a loving perspective. And that's really helped me physically, mentally, like it's made me a better person altogether and more healthy. But I think that the idea that fat is bad, there are just going to be fat people no matter what. The idea that fat is bad is where did that come from? Yes, there's some people that are overweight and they're fat and they have health issues. Yes, some people that are thin that have the same health issues. And maybe there's a disproportionate amount of people that are fat that have these health issues. Like, fine, I'm not going to argue about, you know, what the facts are. But the truth of the matter is, like, why can we take the this kind of goes back almost to like toxicity of religion. Like, can we take this idea away from like the morality about how to have a body? Like, why is Monica better because she's in a small body than I am?
Wait, like, who says she's better?
A lot of people, like if we were going to do a site, who's healthier? If there was a poll and we were just standing here, who is the better mother? You know, like it could be anything. Who is the better of this? Who is the most responsible? Who is the most educated, right? Like who exercises the most? Who has the most regular blood pressure? You know what I mean? Like, I think society, I think we all understand that, but we're going to give credit to the smaller body. And that's just something that's ingrained in us. And if you can be in a larger body and be a great person and not have any health issues that are impacting the general public, why is that inherently bad? And if we like going back, I'm just like a broken record. Going back to what I said, if we can really like deal with that, I think as a society, like we know that it's not good to make fun of gay people. We know that it's not good to discriminate on people because of the color of their skin or their religion and their background. It still happens, but it's acceptable, but it's not okay. Like people know it's not okay. But when it comes to people in larger bodies, it's like, oh, they're bad. They're weak. They're, you know, irresponsible. They're unhealthy. Like, it's just like this catch-all for everything that's bad. because of your body and why. Why?
Right. Just to echo some of those points, and Monica, thank you for sharing that, because that is exactly what the fuck my whole point is. You cannot look at people and determine what's going on with their body. I'm now 385, so she's down 37 pounds. But you know, I'm a 385-pound man, 6'2", you know, obese and fat, right? But again, I don't have hypertension, but Monica does. And Monica is significantly more fit than I am, right? And again, just like Jessica's saying, if Monica and I stood next to each other, right, judging by the comments on that YouTube video, people would look at me and look at Monica and go, oh, Monica is clearly the one who has no health issues. She's so fit. She's the perfect image of health. And that doesn't mean that, first of all, also backing up too, it's also like, there is nothing, you know, our bodies are our bodies, right? And like, that's the beauty of science and stuff, is that we're still figuring out our bodies. We're still learning a lot about our bodies. It's not a perfect science. And I think that it's like a lot of ignorance, and it's like really ugly that like, that I feel like I even have to kind of like make that kind of like ugly statement of like, oh, well, look at me next to Monica. It's like, you having hypertension, that, okay, but you're still fit and you're still, you know, you're still living your life. But again, I just think that like in the comments, if we take those comments and we put each other next to each other, I genuinely think that that's what people would say.
And also just to add on to that, like, thank you for sharing that. And
yeah,
obviously, I'm not judging anybody based on that.
Yeah.
But even if we were to talk about this in a public discussion with other people, and let's say we're both hypertensive and we're talking about this together, you're going to get the pass. Oh, it must be congenital. Like, you were born with this.
You're
like,
born with it.
Supposed to be in your family. But then me, you did that to yourself. You're irresponsible. You're so big. Yeah. Like, what do you eat for dinner? And so it really goes back to, this is not about health. This is about desirability. This is about acceptability. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't get the same argument from people who are in similar bodies to me. They don't say the same things to me. They're like, oh, you're so fit and you're so strong. And it's just like, can people just stop commenting about these negative and perceived and positive and negative aspects of how to have a body? Because we all have a different thing going on. We're not even aware of everything that's going on in our bodies. So could we just stop focusing on the physicality of everyone and just like, take people for their content, for what they're doing, for what they're worth, and like apply that and take the idea of how they should be performing or how they should be existing in their body out based on how you perceive their health to be.
How do they compliment you? You're saying like they don't compliment you based on, you know, your appearance or your strength, people within your space. So how do they compliment you?
No, I am saying that I get that as well. Sometimes for my community, it's just the contrast of it. It's like, people
like the way they say it,
right? Like, they're still judging my body, but it's from a different perspective, a different set of eyes. Like, you're big, but you're strong, and you seem you're doing all these things that I could never do, and da 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 da. So it's just like this contrast of people within the community and people outside of the community. And it's completely, completely two different ends of the spectrum, but it's still judging a body, right? It's still not benefiting me in a positive way. It's actually kind of screwing it up, screwing up the way you see yourself, because I'm trying to get myself out of that mentality, right?
Right. Do you guys know of Maui Bigelow? Was a fat influencer. I just want to bring her up. I think this ties in pretty well from what we've been discussing. But, you know, I pulled up a little bio from her. She was at 380 pounds, fat influencer. She had made a name for herself in this space. And then her health took a dive. She was diagnosed with blood cancer and multiple uterine fibroids. So she needed surgery, but she couldn't get surgery due to her weight. So then she needed to have bariatric surgery, which is for weight loss. So, I mean, what's your take on that? Where, you know, she is a fat influencer. She was overweight, obese. And then she, you know, had this condition where she needed surgery, but couldn't get the surgery unless she lost weight. So is that not an inherent, you know, risk of being overweight or obese? You know, not being able to
have surgery because a doctor doesn't want to operate on you because of the risks of you being overweight?
Well, yeah, let's go into it. Like, what are the risks of being overweight when going into surgery, and in terms of like, you know, healing from the process or making it through the process in general? Because I mean, coming from a very superficial knowledge of, you know, what surgery looks like, I know anesthesia is based on, you know, your body weight. So there's only so much anesthesia a person can have before it's, you know, at a dangerous level, right? And they need to keep that going for the duration of the surgery. So if you guys could chime in on what does this represent, the Maui Bigelow situation where she is overweight, obese, and she did need, you know, a surgery, and she couldn't have that surgery immediately and she needed to lose weight. I guess, where do you stand on that? What's your opinion on that?
I am like all for body autonomy. If, you know, you have something going on in your life and you need to take care of the damn thing, you need to take care of the damn thing. Not that it's going to be easy, not that it's even going to be possible, but I know that there's like in the fat influencer community, in the fat fitness community as well, but mostly in the fashion community, the community kind of as a whole, a lot of people are anti-weight loss surgery and things like that. It's not something I consider unless something happened to me and I might need to, I don't know, but it's not something that's an option for me. If it is for you, if you need to do it, I have no judgment. The thing that I have a problem with is people, and there are several other influencers who have had surgery on the sly. You know, they show up 2 months later and they're like 80 pounds down and they're like, yeah, I did that waist trainer. And like, it's like, no, you had weight loss surgery. Like, I am against people who have it done, like in the fat community, will do it in secret and then not talk about it. Because you're profiting off of a community that you're no longer part of and you're not being honest. You know what I mean? I have an issue with that. I also have an issue with clout chasing. So before and after, or you're a big successful name and then you've had your weight loss surgery, which I'm thinking of a couple people specifically. And then you come back and attack the community that built you, that built your fame. That happens. And that has happened before. And that is not cool. But I feel like if you're sharing your life with the world and something happens and you need to do what you need to do, I have no judgment about that. It's a shitty situation. And I hope none of us have to be in a situation where we have to get surgery and we can't get it because of something about our body or our lifestyle. Like, it sucks, but I support people for making those personal decisions as long as they're not clout chasing or trying to, you know, tear down the community that built them.
Yeah, it was. And that last part was good. And that's what I want to really emphasize is like where her health presented or her weight presented a, you know, and direct limitation. Detriment to yeah. her health. Yeah. So could you talk about that point where it's like, at what point, you know, do you need to worry about your weight if it's going to be a detriment to your health in a case where, you know, you need surgery, but you can't because you are overweight? Could you elaborate on that? I think Tyler wanna.
Yeah. So I cannot ever speak on her situation because I don't know her or anything like that, but kind of framing it and, you know, thinking about it from a like a personal perspective, you know, again, for me personally, that's why to me, things just kind of always go back to why I live the way that I live and why I have very open communication with all of my, you know, like I said, my doctors, you know, because I want to know, you know, if something goes wrong, like, am I going to be okay? Am I close or am I at risk for these kinds of issues? And so for me, it's like having my doctor and working with them to kind of monitor, you know, all of my levels and things. I mean, for me, that's kind of just like my preventative way, I guess, or my kind of like my check, kind of, I guess, because I guess I would want to try my best to avoid a situation like that. Obviously, she can't help it. I mean, you know, that. So there's, it just seems, I guess what I'm saying is, number one, there's two things. There's like a limit on the science. I'm also saying fat bodies exist. And so the limits of science, like, because of my fat body, we just need to keep pushing the limits of science. Okay, anesthesia, you can't be under that long. Okay, then let's come up with a new concoction, a new anesthesia, you know? Like, let's figure out something else then so we can continue to help people. Because again, it's like, it's not just fat people who have these like one-off abnormal problems. It's like, there are a lot of people who have a lot of different health problems that no one knows how to solve or no one knows how to manage or handle. You know, it's just like, it's just easy to finger point at fatness. So I guess two things is, one, we just need to continue to push the limits of science, and two, for me personally, that is part of the reason why, like, I like to work directly with my doctors, like I said, to monitor my levels, because it's like, I just want to know, you know. I think about that stuff as well. I've had those conversations, you know, so I actively think about that kind of stuff. But that's just me. I don't expect the average, you know, everyday person walking down the street to perform that way. That's just me. And that's just because that's how I live. And this is the industry that, like, I just think about and I think in. And I also don't want to kind of commandeer the situation, but I also want to say one thing that I just don't want to forget, maybe,
say is
that
there's
also another conversation that was being had. And there's a lot of misinterpretation. And it is very, very, very serious to me that there are people who are like underweight and they feel like some of the comments that I made was kind of like an attack to them as well. And I feel like overweight and underweight people, we're together, you know, we're battling the same thing. Exactly. We're battling, you know, we're going through the same things. Exactly. And it's like, when, you know, when I am discussing these things, and I think, you know, don't want to speak for everybody, but I mean, I think Jessica too. It's like, when we're talking about these things, we're talking about like the average person, you know. I'm talking about the guy who wears an XL t-shirt and is a size 34, 36 in the waist. He can go into any store and get anything off of any rack ever, anywhere. That's who I'm talking about. I'm talking about like those people. I'm not talking about those of us that exist outside of the normal spectrum, right? So that would include people who are underweight. Because I also like that, you know, I could not give a shit about the hate, right? Like, I don't give a fuck about that. But what I do care about is that I would never want someone to think that I'm attacking them or that I think it's okay to excuse certain comments or whatever because they're thin. I'm not talking about my underweight family. You know, like I said, we're all in the same boat. We're just dealing with things on opposite ends of the spectrum. So yeah, there are people who are size zero or you're under, you know, or there are men whose waist sizes are under a size 30. So maybe it's hard for you to go into a store, you know, a regular, you know, Zara, Target, whatever, to find clothes. But honey, that's not who I was talking about. Just wanted to make that clear while we're talking about thin and fat.
No, that's really good. I think if I like redid the Jubilee one, I wouldn't have, you know, two fat people who are also, you know, into their health, like very into their health. Because I think we are on the same side on a lot of points, like monitoring your health, exercising. So I feel like if I were to redo that video, I would have, you know, health nuts, bodybuilders, big macho people, whatever sport or fitness they might be into, versus like overweight people, fat people that you've seen on like TV, like what you would find on like TLC with the My Overweight Life or My 700 Pound Life, the people who, you know, don't exercise and don't understand nutrition, don't understand health, because you guys understand all those things. So it's hard to have a really tough conversation because I like agree with a lot of the points that we make on both sides.
I hear you, Alan, but I think that's part of the point because I think people would expect that, what you're saying.
Right. People expected us to really butt heads, but like when we're on there and when we're here now, it's like the points that we make is like, it's points that I would have made. Like the points you make are points I would have made.
And we're on the same page, but from an outsider's perspective, that has nothing to do with this world. But coming in, they're going to see me and Tyler and then the rest of the panel. They're like, like they have these strong opinions and they're assuming that we're going to be like really going at it. But I think that that's the part that is interesting, that we're on the same page. And so I kind of see how they did that. And I hear you. I think it would be more exciting and maybe a little more dramatic and emotional if it was the other way around. But I think that was important for people to see that it's not your stereotype, not going to be your basic stereotypical conversation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. People in the comments were like, they weren't really
damn,
expecting
I want
it
the
to
drama.
Be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's
I'm
trying to stir up drama. I'm trying to stir up drama on the podcast here, but it's tough. But
well, we were down a person too. In fairness, like I, you know, on Jessica and I side, like we were, you know, there was supposed to be a third person, and you know, it just didn't work out. So I'm curious to know maybe kind of what their perspective would have been. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think the perspective that Nick brought, it was that kind of sensational, very like this might be like this might stir up the controversy kind of a thing. And I think that it was good to have him there, because although I don't have to agree with the things that he does and says and feels and all that, that's okay. That's his life. You know, that's his life. So I don't, you know, the comments people are saying, oh, he needs help and he needs this and that. Honey, again, see, we're doing that thing again where we're giving people advice when we're not the experts. We're not.
Oh man. Yeah.
Stop giving people advice when you're not the expert on the subject matter. You know, there's even like a cute little phrase that we hear in like healthcare research. It's called a subject matter expert, a SME, if you will. And it's like, if you're not the subject matter expert, I'm never going to come to you for the advice. But I also wouldn't expect, like, to me, that's just common sense in my mind. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk to somebody about a subject that they're not the, you know what I mean? Like, if I need the expert opinion, why am I not talking to the expert?
Yeah.
So, or, I don't know,
or if you're online and you are giving your expert opinion in quotes, then damn, why didn't you like go to med school or go to get your PhD and become the actual expert in the field? Because it seems like you know more. This is to the commenter. You know more than the actual experts in that field. So like, why don't you just do it yourself? I always think about that when I get mansplained after I post a TikTok or something on Instagram. I'm like, oh damn, you should take my job. Like, I'll give you my job. You can take my clients. Sounds like
you know how many times where I'm like, I'm actually the expert here. Where I've seen something, I'm like, hey, it's me. I'm the expert.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah. Let's get into some harder territory again and talk about what are your thoughts on this statement? Excessive fat is unhealthy. Excessive fat is unhealthy.
I think excessive fat can be unhealthy. It depends on where it's at. If you have excessive fat around your ankles and you got a nasty case of cankles, that's not hurting anybody. Perfect. But if it's a case in your heart or your lungs or your liver, maybe there's an issue.
Right. So then we get into the visceral versus subcutaneous fat. So for the listeners listening, most of your fat is stored subcutaneously, usually around like 90% in most people. And so that is fat that's stored as storage in our arms, anywhere that's not around a major organ. So basically under our skin. And so that's where, you know, your excess calories get stored as fat. And then you also have visceral fat. So this is a small minority of what fat is stored in your body. And this is around the organs to protect the organs, you know, your stomach, maybe around your lungs, a bit around your heart, protecting all your major organs. So with that, then, is there an inherent risk of being obese and having extra and excessive visceral fat that could be a detriment to your health?
I mean, again, though, it just depends, right? Like, it just depends on your body. You know, it's like, I think a lot of these questions, you know, and again, Alan, you know, this is not a dig at you. It's like a lot of these questions.
Dig at me.
Just so like fucking just, you can't, this shit is just not a one catch-all situation, right? That's why there's like a lot of medication that can treat the same thing, because different people's bodies just react to shit differently. You know what I mean? Like, there's 57 medications to treat high blood pressure. Why? Because not everybody can take the same fucking one. So it just depends. I actually knew a kid who was less fat on the outside than I was, and he needed to have some kind of surgery. And then when they opened him up, they actually like had to scrape the fat off of his heart. Honey, I've never had to have you know, it's like, what the fuck are we talking about? You know, it's like, so I don't know. It just depends. It just depends on what's going on with your individual body.
I think that medical science tells us that can be unhealthy. Like, there's like cirrhosis and fatty liver disease. That was like the first time I'd ever heard about it. And those things can like fuck your organs up. We know that. But are you really looking at somebody and wondering about their liver or their heart? Like, if it's an internal concern, like if you're worried about your liver and your heart and you're worried about fatty liver disease or whatever issues that you might have, yeah, that's a personal thing. But I don't think you should be walking around looking at fat people being like, I bet you their liver is full of fat. Like, it's just a weird concern. I think it's a personal health concern, but yeah, it's probably terrible for you.
It's just so weird to me. It's like there could be so many other things to be focused on than how fucking fat I am. How about, like, do I punch kids in the face? Like, am I that kind of person? That, like, that, that's the kind of stuff we need to be concerned about.
Well, I did you see punch that one kid.
Yeah, right. You know,
that was just for TikTok though. So.
Oh, I see.
I was clout chasing. You know, it's like, you know, it's like people. It's like, you know, that's part of the reason why this like social media shit is so mind-boggling to me sometimes, because it's like we focus on the wrong shit all the time. And it's like all of these people who pretend to be so concerned about a fat bitch's health, you're fucking lying, and you're not really altruistic. You're not this humanitarian ass person, because if you were a bitch, you'd be on the streets helping the homeless people. I live in, you know, we live in LA. How many fucking homeless people are there? How big is the population? I'm from Philadelphia. So this shit was fucking jarring to me to drive down the fucking streets and see tents and just homeless people everywhere in need of help. Be concerned with that. I'm fat and I'm fine. Be concerned with the people who don't have a home. Like, if you really want to be concerned about people's well-being, I'm saying there are people who are actually in need, and not you looking at me saying, you must have diabetes, I have to make a comment. Girl, go do something with your time.
Yes.
Go do something productive. Jesus.
Oh my God, I'm like nodding so much. I'm like, giving myself a headache.
I guess, Jessica.
Concern to have for somebody, like, I think I feel like a lot of these comments that you're bringing up are people that are waiting for myself or Tyler to come back and be like, fat people are healthy. Like, there's nothing wrong with cirrhosis. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, and that's not the case. It's just, please exclude me from this fucking narrative that you have of me. Thank you. Just because you see that I'm fat. Because, yeah, you don't know where I was 5 years ago. You don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years. You don't know anything about me. If you're not going to have that same energy for somebody like Monica or somebody like Alan on the internet, like, save it. Like, just pass me. And also, like, we're not all here to please everybody. Like, I think that's the beautiful thing about these niche communities that we've built, is they're all so different. And like, even within the fitness world, there's all these like little breakoffs of these different communities and these different things that people are part of. And I think that if you don't think that I'm fit, if you don't like following what I'm promoting, you don't like yoga, if you don't like body representation, then go find somebody else. Go find beach girl yoga with blonde hair that's doing walking on her hands across the ocean. Like, she's for you, maybe. Like, but you can miss me and also miss me with this weird comment that you're gonna leave or this idea that you're gonna project on me. Just keep scrolling. Like, if it's not for you, it's for somebody else, and it doesn't have to like get you all up in your heart or your feels. Like, you can just go. Like, you could be like, ew, I don't think so, and then just keep going. Yes. Like, you don't have to stop and be like, blah, 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 blah. I have a Google PhD and you're fat and you're gonna die. Like, you could just miss me with all that.
I don't think people understand that, like, there's a, like, the mental gymnastics that it takes me to understand, like, if you don't like something, you're going to take time to write me a 3-paragraph essay on my social media or whatever, or in these comments, when you could have just kept on scrolling.
The thing, like, that's like, I don't mean to cut you off, but I am, sorry.
No, go ahead.
If people don't realize how revealing that is. Like, you got triggered by something that was generally non-trigger, like, that wasn't the intention, it was not clickbait or anything, and you felt so strongly in your dis-ease for me or whatever that you just mental diarrhea all over my page. Now we can all see your inner workings and your trauma and where you're coming from and what, who hurt you and how deep the wound is. Like, do you know how revealing these things are? Like, you just take a step back and see, like, why did I just do that? Like, why did I just say all these things? Like, I just got triggered. And that's the crazy thing. I'm like, wow, you have a lot going on. I can't believe you just shared that with the world, but okay, thanks.
Right. So, Mama, that means that you need help. Like, you're trying to help me, but I'm saying you just wrote me a 5-paragraph essay like I was your teacher grading your assignment. You need the help. Who am I? I'm nobody, right? I'm just some fat bitch, right? So fuck me. Why am I even worth the comment?
Because they told you, right?
Right. So why am I even worth the comment? It's hilarious. And then, yeah, like, yeah. And the shit with Nick too, it's like, I did see some comments about basically they were kind of saying, well, using hate for yourself to motivate you is also dangerous and poisonous and like just awful. And, you know, I mean, again, so to me, it's more like, let's also focus on health overall, including our mental health. Like, you're looking at me and you're spitting out this shit at me. Like, you don't actually care about me because you don't give a fuck about what these comments might do to me. I mean, they're lucky that I'm not like a weak ass bitch, but that's just because I'm from Philly and I, you know, we're just a little rough around the edges anyway, you know, but other people are a lot more sensitive to the shit. And you don't genuinely give a fuck about me. You just wanted to say some shit. You just wanted to say some inflammatory shit. You know, you wanted to get a couple likes on comments and you wanted to be cute. You wanted to feel cute. But what about people's mental health as well? What about that? Like, why are we cheering for some, you know, or not cheering? But it's like, it's interesting to me that people would prefer someone who hates themselves so much that they would do anything, extreme diets, crash diets, working out until they pass out and throw up. They would prefer that over someone who says, I'm comfortable with myself, I love myself, and I do fitness and exercise and things for me because I like how I feel when I do certain kinds of movements. So for me personally, I also am super fucking flexible and I love being super fucking flexible. So I like to stretch. You know what I mean? And so for me, that's just, I like to feel that. Why is there no focus on that? Why is there no focus on the fact that, like, mentally, I'm okay with myself and I'm happy and I'm in love with my body because I see the changes that I make every single day, whether I fucking exercise or not, whether I get up and eat right or not. I love my fucking body. You know, it's like,
there's nothing to exploit or profit from that. If we're all happy, we're all happy and we're feeling good about ourselves. There's nothing to exploit for people who are weak that want to exploit you. And there's nothing to profit for, you know, businesses and organizations that want to sell to you this idea that you're not enough, that you're not good enough. And that's not just, you know, our society as far as commerce is concerned and capitalism. That's like people too. People want to get off on you. People that leave these comments, they're exercising something. They're getting something off their chest. It's therapeutic for them in a negative, it's like toxically therapeutic, but if that's an oxymoron, but they're getting something off of it and they're preying on your perceived vulnerability and how they can take from you and tear you down. So if you're rejecting that, you're kind of useless in that regard. And that pisses people off.
I want to say one more thing and then I promise I'm going to be quiet, Alan and Monica.
Oh my God. No, this is awesome.
This is your podcast now.
Jessica, I think you're making a great point and about like needing to get something off their chest clearly, right? Because I also see that a lot of the hate that I get, you know, wherever it comes from, comments, Twitter, whatever, a lot of the hate comes from these like anonymous accounts. Mm-hmm. So you don't even have the courage, the balls, you know, or the boobs to stand in your truth and to own that shit. You're a coward. And clearly whatever is going on with you is so deep that you needed to create a personal anonymous account where you can project your whatever is going on with you onto me. I'm an easy target. I'm visible. We're all visible. It's easy because I'm visible, but you are hiding behind a blank profile and you're clearly needing some kind of assistance because you're looking at me and you're like, how? You're not taking care of yourself. But if you listen to everything that I said in the podcast, if you listen to what I said in the YouTube episode, you would hear that I'm saying, no, I do look after myself. So why are you telling me that? Because you're projecting, honey. And then I'm quiet.
Oh, you're good. Those are, yeah. So as we were kind of going on here, I was thinking back to like the internalized fat phobia. And I don't listen to David Goggins a lot, but I feel like he has that, you know, that toxic, it can be at times the toxic idea. I'm just going through his profile on Instagram and, you know, he posts like pictures of him from being overweight. Do you guys know who David Goggins is? Motivational speaker. He was in the Navy, I believe, one of the branches of the military. Must have been the Navy. But basically he was overweight and he'll do like these videos being like, I mean, like even this post here is like people are often too afraid to being unhappy, scared, feeling lost, being a failure, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a picture of him when he was fat. And then the next picture is him when he's like shredded, six pack. So I feel like people, you know, have that internalized fat phobia. So then the next question, and well, we only have a few more questions here for you guys. so we can let you go. But it's basically fat acceptance versus the fat pride movement. This is coming from the title of an article. Are we glorifying obesity in the name of body positivity?
No. I think that giving people visibility as they exist, as they have always existed since the beginning of time, instead of ignoring them and shaming them, is just celebrating humanity for what it is. I think that we people come in all shapes, all sizes, all colors, all backgrounds, and all, you know, everybody has something different that they desire, physically, sexually, you know, like emotionally. Like, we are so complex, and we're always trying to like shove ourselves into these like boxes that fit. You're gay, you're straight, right? Like, you can't be both. You're a man or a woman. You can't be both. Like, it's constantly, we're trying to fit ourselves into these mechanisms, into these boxes, into these spaces that as humanity, we don't fit in. We don't exist in. We exist as we are. I said it during the recording when we did the little show, and I keep saying it. People have always existed in diverse bodies, always. By keeping people like this that are different, and I'm not just talking about fat people, I'm talking about people that look different, people that are, you know, have skin issues, people that are missing limbs. Like, by hiding these people, what are we saying to children that we're bringing up in society? Like, we are just reinforcing this idea that there's a good way to be and everything else is terrible and bad. And that, like, falls in line with racism, that falls in line with colorism, that falls in line with all kinds of isms that are terrible and negative. So I feel like just showing people and representing people as they exist is not glorification. It's a reflection of humanity. It's who we are. And yeah, I'm fat. If I want to like wear a bikini like every other woman on the beach and feel the sun on my skin and get into the ocean and swim, and I look happy and I'm spreading joy and I put my picture on the internet and a business takes that picture and wants to sell the bikini because of it, how are they glorifying obesity? Why aren't they glorifying being joyous as yourself, enjoying your life, and stop feeling and not rejecting shame, right? Like, why is it because it's visible and it's visible and it's a happy image that we're glorifying the thing that people don't like about the picture? Why can't we be glorifying joy? Why can't we be glorifying Black girls? Why can't we be glorifying shiny skin or whatever, or pink bathing suits or whatever? Why do we have to focus on body size?
There's two.
Why are we idolizing in general? Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. I was just like, I feel like, Jessica, you just like so eloquently always say what the curse words in my mind are trying to say.
Listen, I'm on a filter because it's a lot. Heavily filtered.
I just feel like, you know, you touched on a lot of good things that I also think about. And that's number one. For me, body positivity is saying, bitch, regardless of my size, shape, color, whatever, I am happy with myself. I am not hating myself, because that is hurtful and can lead to suicide and depression, right? Like, I'm comfortable in my skin. I'm happy. And I also, so that's not glorifying it, right? But we're saying, like, all of these bodies have always existed, right? I mean, like Jessica's saying, all types of bodies and brains, right? Not just, again, there have always been trans people. There have always been fat people. There has always been an every kind of person. But it just has to do with now, I think there's maybe a little bit more visibility perhaps, right? Or maybe there's more of us who are open to saying, this is who we are. And also, when the fuck did we get to the place where we no longer appreciated and respected the differences that made us all different? Like, when I grew up, I remember celebrating other people's cultures and other people's religions. And, you know, I was exposed to a lot of stuff. Like, I, you know, from various cultures, like I said, various cultures, religions, food, all of those things I celebrated and enjoyed. I enjoyed, you know, and it's like, why now? All of, like, it seems like now, if you're different, it's not to be celebrated anymore. It's like, come on, nobody watched Captain Planet? You know what I mean? Like nobody watched any of those shows and things? Like, did no one have, like, it's like, were you watching and did you take anything away from it? Like, did you think that they were just saying, like, unity, peace, love, and accept everybody as they are just because it sounded fun? Or, like, No, it's like, that's how it really should be. We should celebrate the fact that we're all different. Like, I don't know if anyone's ever seen this. Obviously, I'm a gigantic child at heart, but there's an episode of Fairly Odd Parents that I remember watching as a kid. And basically, Timmy Turner had fairy godparents, and he wished that everybody was the same because he was tired of standing out and being different. He had buck teeth and a pink hat and a big head, and he was tired of standing out and being different. And then he wished that everybody was the same, and everybody became these gray blobs. And that, I was like, is awful. And his fairy godparents couldn't find him because now everybody looks the same. They all sound the same. We don't even know who anybody is. And to me, I know that it's a cartoon, right? But I'm saying the takeaway, though, is that that's what I'm talking about. Like, how scary, how gross would it be to live in a world where we were all the exact same carbon copy person? Where, you know, I think that my individuality matters. Me being a fat person or a queer person or whatever person, that matters. And whether people like me or not, or they like my fat body or not, or my queer body, whatever the fuck, whether you like it and accept it or not, baby, there are generations of children coming up who are going to look and think and feel and be just like me. And maybe their potty mouth will be even worse. but these things are never going to go away. There's always going to be thin, fat, underweight. We are always going to exist. So can we just go back to celebrating those things, celebrating what makes us unique and different and individuals?
Damn, I wish I grew up where you grew up. I live in the Midwest. I'm in Michigan. I'm like, I didn't grow up like that.
What were you going to say? Were you going to add on?
Yeah, I was just going to say, but it kind of like touches on this idea of idolism. And I feel like the more bodies and representation we have in media, like that idea is going to go away because we're not just putting a certain type on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes beyond body size, like, you know, with Black and Asian people as well. Like all different types of people in general are getting a spotlight on them for the first time. I think in the last few years, more attention, more spotlight, more celebration, partly because the face of the world is changing, but also because people are rejecting these ideas that they're not good enough. They don't deserve to be celebrated. So I feel like a variety of representation is going to be ultimately healthier for the entire world and how we consume media and how we all see ourselves.
Totally. Yeah. I this is a sidebar question, but I used to struggle with just because of these like movements and more like visibility and representation. Sometimes I feel like companies would reach out to me and I'm like, is it because they need like a token Asian person? Or like, do they really believe in this movement of more visibility and representation? Like, I'm wondering if any of you have, had those thoughts or struggled with it. Cause and on one side, I'm like, this is good. I should be a part of this because, you know, maybe it's leaving room for more change in the future. Or like, am I just supporting this company and like, I don't know, giving the people what they want to see?
So that's weird that you brought that up because Alan had mentioned that to me when we met at Jubilee. We were just talking about our social media, like careers and opportunities and things like that. And I just created a program for Fabletics, a class, and we're talking about that. And he did mention, thank you. He had mentioned like, do you feel tokenized? You ever worried about that? Like diversity clout, these organizations reaching out to you. And I don't remember, I had a quick response. It was obviously, I just like said something off the fly. And I thought about that because that's something that I think I've always thought about anytime anybody's ever reached out to me. And I think my stance on that is, yeah, very, hell yeah, companies are using you and trying to grow their reach and show face. And like, hey, we're doing this. We're working with diverse types of bodies and people. And at the same time, am I going to take the L for that? Hell yeah. If I can bite the bullet, if somebody's going to tokenize me, but that means, 85, 13-year-old girls that look just like me are going to see themselves reflected and be like, damn it, I can do whatever I want. Like if that's going to benefit somebody, I'm going to bite that bullet. I'm going to make that sacrifice. I think that some organizations are very genuine and sometimes they're not. And it's very obvious. Mm-hmm. I pick and choose my opportunities and who I work with, but ultimately I am going to take that. I'm going to take that loss. I'm going to take that risk And if that means that there's going to be an even exchange, I'm going to get some representation. You know, I'm not married to this company or this group or whatever. And I'm not talking about Fabletics, obviously, specifically, but it just across the board. Yeah, there's that feeling. If the opportunity presents itself correctly, I'm going to take it with a good understanding that I'm being tokenized, but other people are going to benefit from this in some way.
Yeah, I totally agree. Just, yeah, again, that representation is so important. And even like what we were talking about even earlier, actually, which is why this is such a salient point for me. But when we were talking about like even how I had first gotten, you know, viral on Twitter and all that crap, it's like, my post was literally talking about the importance of that representation. And it's like, and I do agree, it's like, even if I am going to be tokenized, then there are, you know, there are children out there who will, sorry, computer's dying. There are children out there who will, you know, who will appreciate seeing themselves in me, and not even children. I have gotten a lot of love from people all over the world. I mean, you name it. And I've seen it, you know, the language too. And it's like, they reach out to me all ages and they say all kind of stuff. Like, I'm just happy to see you because you, something in you I identify with, whether it's like being in a relationship, being queer, black, fat, whatever the fuck it is. It's like that representation matters to people. And even if I am going to be tokenized by it, I think for the greater good, I think it may be worth it. I think, I mean, of course there are limits, right? I mean, right. If it's too extreme, of course, but you know, pick and choose that battle, right? Like obviously don't work with the company who's really trying to just, right. But if they're just saying, we just want to use you in your content, boom, I have no problem with that. I just don't remember seeing anyone like me when I was growing up. Where was the fat, queer, happy, like happy, healthy, mentally and physically happy, healthy person? I don't remember seeing that. Like, I just don't.
Let's spend the last 10 minutes here just going over some raw topics. Is obesity a problem?
No. That's a very broad question. For a broad answer, I'm going to say no.
Okay, cool. Let's dive into it. So basically, what is obesity? Like, in your terms, what do you define obesity as? And why did you say no?
I don't define obesity. I mean, we think of obesity as being fat. It's on some chart, right? Like, if you get into some category on the height weight chart, you're obese, right?
Right. So they typically use BMI, and it's usually over 35.
Right. And that's not, I mean, the whole BMI scale has since been defunct as to why it's not like really helpful for judging everybody's health. It's, you know,
yeah,
it's
not good for individuals. Right.
Right. It's not an individual indicator of health, as a lot of people can attest to. I'm definitely on the obese scale. I haven't had a medical doctor say that to me in so long. I feel like it's one of those outdated things, but, and, you know, and on paper, I'm healthy. On video, you know, some people might think I'm dying of something. Like, there's all these ideas of it. I think it can be unhealthy, but to classify it as inherently unhealthy kind of erases why it's a term and how it came to be and how it's not applicable to everybody. So I think it's a blanket, a rigid blanket scale, and it doesn't apply to everybody. So I don't think that it makes sense to say that it is unhealthy, like as a general statement. I think that's misleading.
So then I guess the next question that follows up here is like, why is there an obesity epidemic? Like, why have they termed it epidemic? Why are there medical experts who are saying there's an obesity epidemic in America? Why would they say that? Where are they coming from?
The complications that come with it. I mean, Tyler, you can speak better to that, I think, than I can.
I mean, so yeah, you know, like, yes, there are fat kids and fat people, and yes, like obesity, you know, however you using this damn BMI shit. Yes. According to these charts, yes, there's an epidemic because there's a lot more of us than there ever have been, I guess. And to Jessica's point, it's like, yes, it's not inherently bad. It's a maybe, you know, again, what my point always is that it just depends on your goddamn body. So is it inherently bad? No. And also, again, I mean, obviously I just fucking love Jessica, but you just like, yeah, can we take the fucking morality out of it? Why are we bringing morals into fat? Morals into fat? Come on. How can being fat be, you know, it's like morally bad. What are we talking about here? Now, are we talking about health-wise? Right. It's not inherently bad for your health.
I see. And then the next point here is like, you know, there's why do doctors then insist on weight loss for a lot of their patients who come in with, you know, comorbidities related to obesity instead of going a different route? Instead of just focusing on exercise, focusing on diet, a lot of, you know, medical doctors will be like, all right, you're obese based on this chart. You do have, you know, hypertension, pre-hypertension, you might be diabetic. And then their next solution is, okay, you need to lose weight. Where is this coming from? Why is it like that? How do we change it? If there is a change, or what are we missing?
I feel like there are a lot of health professionals, and not necessarily just medical doctors, but there are a lot of health professionals that are starting to change this conversation. I think that the way doctors are educated in this country, especially doctors that have been in their practice for 40 and 50 years or coming towards the end of their medical practice, they have antiquated ways of learning about bodies, and they're also in bed with pharmaceutical companies. I don't know how much people don't realize that. There's a very tight relationship between our practicing medical professionals and big pharma and the folks that bill for procedures, our insurance companies. So, and it sucks to say, because I'm just going left, right? It's not just about health and these out of date charts. Our healthcare in this country is for profit. It is for profit. It's not for health. If every medical professional had our health, our quality of life as their number one priority, things would be a lot different. We throw chemicals at people that were derived from fruits and vegetables and plants that came from the ground. Like, that's why there's holistic medicine. That's why there's all these types of practices that people are relying on more heavily, because our medical system has failed us. If it was this easy, if it was this simple, if you could just lose weight and cure all of the health issues that you would potentially be at risk for, I think everybody would have lost weight by now. I think we have so many ways to give weight loss surgery. There's so many medications that clinically have been tested to reduce weight, to reduce fat, to reduce cholesterol. We have all these tools, but we still yet have a quote unquote obesity epidemic. I think the medical system has failed us. I don't think that our health is necessarily at the forefront of everybody's mind. And I think that the way a lot of doctors have trained is just out of touch, out of reach, antiquated. If it was really as simple as everybody thought, I would be in a smaller body for sure. I spent, you know, 25 years of my life trying to shrink. Like if it was something that was viable, if it was helpful, if it was possible, even, I think a lot of us would have made that choice, right? Most of us are going to take the easier route if given a choice between the hard route and the easy route, if we have the choice. But we're not. We're here existing the way we are, trying our best.
And I mean, I do want to back up really quickly and just say that like obesity being inherently bad for your health. Again, I've misspoken saying that it's not inherently bad, but I'm saying that it depends. If you were an obese child, guess what? A lot of time, like I have had the experience of doctors saying, well, yeah, he's fat and he's 10, but like he's about to go through puberty. So it's cool. Like a lot of times, you know, you like what they consider obese in children and stuff. It's like if you can shed that weight and go through puberty. So it's like you're chilling, you know, but like, I just wanted to add to that point, but yeah, Jessica, I think you're making a lot of good points. And I don't even have anything to add, cause I think you're just taking it away. You know, I don't think it's a fucking epidemic, and I think it's just ridiculous. And yeah, I mean, if people have ever seen what their hospital bills are, like if you ever had to stay the night at the hospital, whatever, ask for an itemized receipt. Ask for an itemized receipt and you'll see that they have billed you for everything. I'm surprised they don't even bill you for the linoleum in the floor. Okay.
Like,
yeah. And if they had to put it on you, you know, they charged you for it. So, you know, it's like, it's like, I just want everybody to know that it's like, we're all doing the fucking best that we can. And so to finger point and to be like, you're fat and you're bad. Can we just calm down? Like, we are all doing the best that we can. It's like, as badly as people claim that they're concerned about my health, it's like, I'm concerned about it too. Believe me, I don't want heart disease, but it's like, let's fucking relax. Like, I don't need, I'm just going to shake my head.
Again, you guys were, when we got onto Jubilee and we were like agreeing on so many points, I feel like, yeah, we didn't get the heated conversation. So I'm glad we were able to have this conversation, go over a lot of things, you know, go over, you know, being fat, what obesity is. There's nothing really I have to add. Monica, do you have anything else?
No, I've just been listening this entire time. It's been a really cool conversation, and to have different, less filtered discussion about these topics.
Yeah, I think when we do this again, I'll try to find, you know, the fitness influencers who are very much on, I guess, the toxic end of the spectrum, who, you know, they'll make videos like, oh yeah, hell yeah, I'm fat phobic, and we'll get them on and you guys can have a chat with them. We'll moderate and see how that goes compared to this one. I'm sure that would be a lot more heated, a lot more dramatic. But like I said, like, as we talk, everything aside is like, we agree on so many points, and I feel like it's hard to get down to the bottom of things when, you know, things are filtered. So I was glad you guys could come onto the podcast today. Do you guys have anything else to add? What are your Instagrams? We'll link them in the podcast notes. And if you guys have anything else you want to say, let people know, go at it.
I want to say this is a lot of fun. I love having these types of discussions. Even though we agree on a lot of points, there's new perspectives, I think, that we all have, you know, even between me and Tyler, right? Thank you so much for having me. If anybody's interested, again, I'm Jessica Jade Yoga on Instagram. It's like the only place I exist. So, and you can take class with me for free and live.
Yeah, free classes.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And thank you so much. Like, I had a lot of fun. And this was just, it was really cool to do. And I'm happy that I was able to be on this platform just to kind of have a chance to kind of respond to some of the things, you know, because I didn't want to, I think it's also not a good use of my time to delve deep into comments and argue and go back, you know, and Jessica, again, just making great points about, like, I think after this podcast, I also learned that, like, I don't need to make certain kinds of comments. I don't need to justify my health to anybody. You know, as long as, like I said, as long as I'm happy and healthy and comfortable, that should be all that matters. I just hope that people, the takeaway is really that the focus needs to be, let's focus on ourselves first before we start to point fingers and, you know, challenge people based on 2 seconds of what I see, which is just, you're a fat person or whatever, you know. Let's be respectful. Let's give people the space to be who the fuck they are, because you just never know where people are in their lives, and you just never know what your comments or things like that are going to do or going to mean, you know, and you just never, ever, ever know. So I really want us to get back to a place, like, as a society, of just celebrating differences. And I mean, not that we ever did that perfectly, but I would like us to celebrate more of our differences and appreciate people's individuality. And maybe even if you don't love fat people or you don't agree, quote unquote, with being fat, that doesn't mean that you have to have hate or, you know, you don't have to harbor hate and disrespect for me. You know, maybe there are other things that we might connect on. You know, that's the hilarious thing. By, you know, this is all divisive. We actually need more unity. You know what I'm saying? And again, to my underweight family, I love you. You know, we in this together, not talking about them negative, you know, again. So my thin family, I love you. I appreciate you. My fat family, I love you and I appreciate you. And Monica and Alan, I just, like I said, had such a fun time doing this. And I'm going to stop talking, but my social medias are THEBIG77. I can't spell now. THEBIGDOG77, the big dog 77.
You sound like you were rapping for a second.
So thank you guys for coming on to the Only Fitness podcast. Hope you guys all enjoyed the podcast. If you guys enjoyed it, please don't forget to leave a 5-star rating and review, add it to your playlist, share it on to your social medias, and find us all on Instagram. We'll have that all in the show notes. Thank you guys so much. Until next time.
Thank you.
Peace.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Only Fitness podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to leave a 5-star rating and review, share this podcast with a friend or family member, and be sure to follow us on Instagram. Until next time, this has been the Only Fitness podcast.